Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. Presented by Belco Credit Union. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening and welcome to the Tattered Cover. Thank you. Thank you. The applause started the silence, so that's good. And I just really want to thank everybody for coming tonight. And I'm Marty with Tattered Cover. And I also want to thank you for your support of the Tattered Cover and your support of other independent bookstores around the country. Well, as you can feel the energy in this room, we're very excited tonight to have Barry Peterson here with his new book, Jan's Story. Love Lost to the Long Goodbye of Alzheimer's. And just as an aside, we can now say we are excited tonight to have local author Barry Peterson here as he moved to Denver a year ago last fall. And many of you, of course, already recognize Barry Peterson from his Emmy Award-winning work on CBS News. He has covered a wide range of topics, from war, genocide, the siege of Sarajevo, and on a lighter note, interviews with such stars as Anthony Hopkins and Jimmy Stewart. He shared both the Peabody and DuPont Awards for his CBS News coverage of the Tiananmen Square uprising. Tonight, though, we're honored that Barry Peterson will share his personal story of his wife, Jan, and their journey through Alzheimer's. Please help me welcome Barry Peterson.
I've said this to some other people. When we came to arrange this event, we met with somebody from the Tattered Cover, and we asked them, do you normally serve anything when an author comes to speak? And they said they used to, but they had an author who came to speak. Three men showed up, and it turned out that they were homeless, and they only came for the food. I say this because I'm very relieved that there's somebody here. Thank you all for showing up. It's going to be a hard evening for me, so bear with me. Everybody says, you know, you talk to people, like millions of people, but I don't talk to people personally. So what I want to do first, while I go collect myself, is I would like you to take a minute and meet Jan. Was vibrant, facing every day with a smile, an accomplished TV journalist.
The news specialists with John Marler, Jan Charlton.
Jan Charlton is at the center right now, and let's go to her for an update. Jan?
Oh, John, alas and alack.
And they look like they're smiling at you. And to just see how good they taste, these are the gummy worms. They just came in today. Okay, and then the... That's the mole. No, I gave you the wrong one. Here, give me that back.
No!
Oh, that's okay. You can keep it. Okay.
Loving every adventure as CBS News moved us from San Francisco to live in Tokyo, Moscow, London, and then back to Tokyo and Beijing. But in 2005, when we were still in Asia and she was 55 years old, came the terrifying diagnosis, early onset Alzheimer's disease. We fought back, Jan by taking the pills that could not stop, only delay the disease, and I by being her caregiver. But as she got worse, that was not enough. So I hired a nurse from the United States to live with us. But as Jan got worse, that was not enough. In May 2008, my own health in danger from the stress of caregiving, I moved her into an assisted living facility in the United States. And the day came when she no longer remembered me. She was lost to the long goodbye of Alzheimer's. The memories of us are now only mine as I continue to keep watch over her. And then came new questions. How do I go on? And do I dare reach out and find someone to share the rest of my life, even though I am still married? In Jan's story, I recount the condolences and the condemnation as I wondered about having a new relationship and how I found guidance from a most unlikely source, from Jan and what she always taught me about how every day is to be celebrated and life is to be lived. I keep thinking this is going to get easier when I do these presentations, and the fact of the matter is it really doesn't. When you are suspected of having Alzheimer's, because they can't really tell, maybe you don't know that, there's no definitive way of telling until you're dead, and then they'll do an autopsy, and then they'll tell you that you really had Alzheimer's. So one of the things they do is they give you an across-the-desk test. So we're going to do the test tonight. Among the things that they do with the test, they give you words to remember. So I'm going to give you 5 words to remember, okay? Number 1, reality. Number 2, awareness. Number 3, guilt. Number 4, love. And number 5, tomorrow. Reality, awareness, guilt, love, tomorrow. Someone once said of great art that we do not own it. We merely take care of it for a lifetime. And then it is passed on to the next caretaker. When I fell in love with Jan, I thought it would be forever. But I was wrong. I merely had her for that time when she was passing through, touching lives, caring for others, and making me her life. Jan had a belief that we create our own happiness. When you wake up and face a day feeling that way, the days can be good. Hers were, and because of her, so were many of mine. Reality, there is no cure for Alzheimer's. It's 100% fatal. Somebody said to me, there are no survivor marches for Alzheimer's. There is no known cause of Alzheimer's. We don't know. And here's the thing that will scare you the most. Nobody knows what you can do to prevent it. Diet, exercise, crossword puzzles, that's all great. It's good for you. But to date, no one understands or no one has proven that that has anything to do with preventing this disease. Jan was 40 when we believe she began showing the symptoms of the disease. Now, she was 55 when she was diagnosed. And if you want to be scared, I met a researcher this last week who said they believe, in her case, 15 years, not unusual. They now believe that perhaps as many as 50 years before you can diagnose the disease, it begins to work. I know you all want to live long. Of all of you who make it to age 85, at this moment, half of you will have Alzheimer's. That's the statistic. And the other half are going to be taking care of the people who have Alzheimer's. Here's the thing that I find interesting, and you're going to help me with this. Alzheimer's today, 5.3 million people. So we live in a country of about 300 million. So work it out. It's under 2%. not exactly a massive number of people. So help me with this, if you would. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you have a blood relative in your family who has Alzheimer's. Wow. I'm going to ask you to... No, don't put your hands down. This is the only exercise you're going to get in this, so enjoy it. I'm going to ask you also, the rest of you, to raise your hands if you have a spouse or an in-law or someone like that in your family who has Alzheimer's. Please. And finally, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you have a friend who has Alzheimer's, if you know someone who is caring for someone with Alzheimer's. And look around you, and now you see what a 2% disease means. There's like almost 90% of you raising your hands. Does anybody remember the second word? It gets really scary when you're around Alzheimer's. I know it sounds a little bit silly, but you start to get crazy about forgetting things. Trust me, you will remember these words for the next week. Yeah. Awareness. For a while, and only for a while after the diagnosis, Jan was aware of her own confusion. She would say repeatedly, "I know I have this thing in my head. Am I okay?" "Yes, darling," I would answer, using my matter-of-fact voice, hoping my calm tone would reassure her. "I don't want to be a burden," she would repeat over and over. "I can just go away. Why don't I just go away?" "No, darling," I would say, "I will take care of you. Wouldn't you take care of me?" "Yes." And the idea of being a burden would fade for a while. Jan was aware of what was happening to her for a while. Now she has no sense that she has anything like Alzheimer's. Here's what I think is the hardest thing about the disease for the rest of us. We understand the process of disease. Some of us have survived it. Some of us have been through it. Some of us have lived with people who have been through this. I understand the concept of pain because I've had shots since I was a little kid. I understand getting an IV if you've been in surgery or things like that. I have never been treated for cancer, but I know with chemotherapy people get terrible, terrible nausea. I understand at least that much of it from having had the flu, okay? I get these symptoms. There is no way your brain can comprehend the process of itself shutting down. You know, the brain begins to function before we are actually born, and there are some people who believe it goes on for several minutes even after the body itself dies. I think that's the hardest thing about Alzheimer's, is that when you are face to face with the disease, the person or the concept, there is no way in our brain that we can understand what's going on, because we can't comprehend what we don't know. Are you having fun yet? Number three. I said to somebody, and I meant this seriously, I haven't looked at this book in a long time, so I'm only doing this reading for you because it's incredibly difficult to do this. So I know I wrote it, but then when I read it, I just have a hard time getting through it, as is probably pretty apparent. After I placed Jan into assisted living in May of 2008, I was still in Asia. I put her into a facility very, very near where she grew up in Bellevue, Washington, like 10 minutes from where her mom lives, and her brothers and sisters, and there are friends, college friends, people that she'd worked with. And I didn't really quite prepare them for one of the cruel parts of the disease. They saw Jan, who was still cheerful and beautiful. This is how the disease works. It doesn't distort the body, and it can leave some traits alive, like Jan's smile and laughter. If you aren't there at bad moments, if you aren't there to agonize over another sign of deterioration, you couldn't see how much she had changed. Instead, you only see the person you remembered as if all of her were still there. And in that kind of denial, all you'd see in this lovely person, all you would see is this lovely person who did not deserve being placed in a facility, and you would detest the man who did it. That would be me. I understand that people had a hard time with this, and I understand why they had a hard time with this. And I had a hard time dealing with the guilt of all of this. If you have anyone who's involved in this setting and you say, how are you doing? The answer is, I'm doing okay. And if you say, do you feel guilty? The answer is yes. And my answer is, why in God's name did she have to get it? You know, if somebody had to get Alzheimer's, why couldn't it have been me? I would have preferred that. She was the good person. I covered a plane crash once, a fully loaded 747 leaving from Taipei, Taiwan, Singapore Airlines. Late at night, typhoon, bad weather, pilot in a hurry to get the hell out. Didn't want to have the airline to pay for 500 hotel rooms if the airport was closed. Zipped out, made the first right turn, which turned out to be the wrong runway, full throttle down the runway. The next thing he sees is a series of construction cranes. The runway is being rebuilt. The plane split into three or four different parts. I interviewed one of the survivors who literally walked away. Now, I want you to understand, I don't really want to be terribly graphic about this, but a fully loaded 747 has a great amount of fuel. And when the plane hit, it exploded, and there was a lot of fire. You can imagine when he was climbing out, scrambling to freedom, what he saw when he looked back, all the people who were still strapped in. And do you know, his overwhelming emotion, having survived all of that, was guilt, because he'd walked away. And I think that that's how I feel about what happened to Jan. And I think people who are dealing with this feel that a lot. Okay. I got really drunk one night at a friend's house. I think I mentioned this in the book. I may have left the drunk part out. I'm not sure. And she decided that it would be a really good idea to sign me up for Match.com. And so she did. And I'm sorry to say, I'll be honest, that in Match it says, what's your best attribute? And she put my butt. So when I sobered up, I changed that to hair or something like that. So I was on Match.com, and I sent a note to a woman and who lives in Denver, as it turns out. And my daughters live in Denver. They're here tonight. And so I was kind of thinking, you know, somebody in Denver. And I wrote what I thought was a wonderfully eloquent introductory note. To which she replied, thank you for your lovely note. Japan would be the definitive long-distance relationship. And then she said, maybe we could be pen pals. So I wrote her back and said, I write for a living all day long. I don't need a pen pal. We did ultimately meet, and that is the person who, only because of the fact that I met her, is giving money to the Alzheimer's Association, and I don't know where she is. I've lost her in the crowd. She hides. If she would like to stand up, her name is Mary Nell. Let's talk about love for a minute. Is it right for me, because I'm married, to be living with another woman? It's a question that I offer openly, and the answer I give, I say to people, is only my answer, okay? It's not a prescription for everyone else. I didn't realize that this is something that is not so unusual until Judy Pring, the person who doesn't watch TV, told me the story of a woman who had Alzheimer's. Her ex-husband and his wife came back to Denver to take care of her. They became a family of three. And Marianelle and I think of ourselves as a family of three. Marianelle and Barry and Jan. And we watch over her as best we can. I mentioned we did something on Sunday morning, and Marianelle was involved in that, and we got a number of replies. I'm going to say to you, 99 out of 100 were incredibly supportive. A couple were, one like, Marianelle keeps quoting this to me, may you and the bitch you live with rot in hell. It was nicely balanced. It was nicely balanced by the guy who's been married 30 years. His email began, "No judgment here, dude." My kind of guy. Okay, I just knocked something on the floor. If the place goes up in flames, we know how to get out of here, sir. What did I do? Oh, okay. Last word. We're almost done. Did everybody remember it? Okay. When Jan would do this, I would remember these things for 3 or 4 days. I'd go around in my head just running these names. And it's not unusual when you brush up against this disease that you become incredibly paranoid every time you forget anything. One night, I was trying to remember who was in the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. It was Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne. And it turns out to be Lee Marvin. So when I looked it up, I spent the next 3 days saying to myself, Lee Marvin, Lee Marvin, Lee Marvin, so I wouldn't forget. Okay, let me read you just something about the disease. I call Alzheimer's the disease. I capitalize the letters because to me it is a viable and known enemy. In my mind, I give it face and form. And one way to beat the disease is to keep going when the disease is taking Jan down and stretching its tentacles, trying to drown me as well. The disease and I both know this. It is the arena of our personal war. People ask me, why did I write the book? All right, the first answer was because I was not going to let this disease get to people. It had already taken away this person that I loved. I did not want it to take me down as well, and I will tell you it was a close call. I do not and will not, I hope never have to end caring for Jan. She's my wife. She's gone away, but she's my wife. And one thing that Marianelle and I have talked about is the vow that we will always watch over her. We will not stop caring for Jan. And the third reason I wrote the book is because I could not let this disease take away Jan, I could not let her life be lost in the waste of Alzheimer's. I want to stop for a second. I'm done. Before we do anything, I would like to ask Linda to stand up and Judy to stand up. I would like to ask everybody who's here from the Alzheimer's Association to please stand up. Stand up. What am I, speaking Swahili or something? And anybody who is involved with Jan's care, I think there are some others here, up, 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 up. I know that at this point you would like to applaud. Thank you. I would like you to applaud these people who are fighting this disease. Thank you very much. I also would like to introduce, so I can personally embarrass them, my two daughters, Julie and Emily. Did I get them right? I think the idea is you stand up. They are Jan's stepdaughters. She met them when she married me when they were 2 and 7. And I must say, in the years since then, they've gotten a lot more expensive. So I would be glad to answer questions, to talk with you. One of the reasons I introduced the people from the Alzheimer's Association, if you have questions, there are people here who really know what they're talking about. If you have questions for me, please raise your hand and let me know, and we're going to talk for about a few minutes because it's already 8 o'clock soon, and I've been so nervous I wasn't able to eat anything, so I'm starving. Yeah, thank you. You know, I said at the outset, I keep thinking it'll get easier if I do this. I watched the video 30 to 40 times trying to build up an immunity to this, but it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. So I apologize. I wanted to be cool and collected. So I did as well as I could. So forgive me. Questions? Anybody? Would you like to ask any questions? Would you like to each buy 10 copies of the book? It's not required to have questions. So if you would like to... Anybody? Yes? Okay, please, stand up.
Say your name and give us your question. My name is Tom. I haven't read the book yet, and I only saw the piece on Sunday morning. And this isn't a question, I just want to say I think you honor Jan by writing the book and telling the story.
I am glad to say that there are a lot of people who agree with you and sent notes encouraging us and telling us that we were doing the right thing. So thank you. But they didn't do it in person, so I appreciate that. Somebody else had it. Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay. I'm Nancy Noyes, and I have a mother who has had Alzheimer's type dementia for 16 years, and it is just the longest goodbye. There's no doubt about it. I wondered if you felt this. I thought the hardest thing was the first 2 years after she was diagnosed to watch how scared she was.
Yeah, I think that was I mentioned that when I read the chapter from the book. You know, it raises a good point, and I'd like to share this with you for a second. One of the reasons I wrote the book was to explain the mistakes I made, of which there were many. I think one of the key mistakes I made was never chatting with Jan about what we wanted to do. And I understand this. Other people have talked about this. When we had a chance to talk, we didn't. And I think the reason was when she was aware of what was going on, if we'd had a conversation talking about what do we want to do, when you're not aware, it would have been a flag of surrender. Somehow, because our whole goal was to fight this, to take the pills, to do whatever we could do. I talked with some people about, do you understand what we're talking about? The conversation about what do you want to do, sweetheart, what do you want if you're in this situation? What do you want me to do? Most of these conversations take place on a gurney outside of an emergency room. Probably not a surprise, but pretty dumb when you stop to think about it. Someone said to me, the time to have the conversation is when you're 25 years old, because you don't think you're ever going to die, so you can really kind of talk about this. But I would really say, if you want to not repeat the mistake I made, then talk to the person that you love or the person that you are with and have the conversation. So, is it hot in here or is it me? Okay. It's the power of my words. I trust you. Anybody else? Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Please, can you talk into the mic?
Yeah, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 14 years ago. And when she was, the first thing she said, "Don't let me get like that." And I knew what she meant when she said like that. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, she is like that. So it's made me think about what she meant and what she said. And have those thoughts gone through your mind? As if, you know, in a perfect world, can we take care of these people, get them out of that situation?
Well, the real answer is no. No cure, no idea of a cause, no idea of prevention. We did an interview for the Sunday Morning Piece with a woman who's been diagnosed with early onset, and, you know, she talked about when she reaches a certain point in the disease, she has told her family, do not bring the grandchildren anymore. And, you know, people have said to me, I have a mother or a father or somebody who has Alzheimer's, they're in their 80s or whatever, and it's so different from you, to which I can only say it's not. No person deserves to have a mother who no longer knows who you are, or a father who no longer remembers who you are. And I don't know what that's like. I know what it's like to have Jan not know who I am, but to mean have your own mother. So I don't think there's any difference. And at the moment, there's no indication that anything can stop this disease. So I know the Alzheimer's people, this will really surprise you. They brought envelopes for donations. I bet you're shocked. Did you do that? Somebody did. There's envelopes up here for donations. Okay. And so if you want to give money, let me just add one last thing, and then I think we'll wrap it up, so unless you have another question. The thing I like very much about the Colorado Association, and I encourage you to think about doing anything you can for them, is they work on the ground with people. They do counseling. They do support groups. They're really the ones who have reached out to families who are dealing with this. And I will tell you from my own experience, I'm sure others of you here as well, that hand that reaches out and grabs you is the one that saves you from going down from this disease. Thank you all for not being three homeless men.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fode, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Authors on Tour Live has been presented by Belco Credit Union. Belco has been serving members' financial needs since 1936. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for many more authors as we podcast Authors on Tour.